Welcome to When Mothers Lead, a podcast created by Motherful, a soulful grassroots collective of single mothers. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Lisa.
And we will discuss how you can be a part of this movement and what the world will look like when mothers lead.
I see the mothers marching. I hear the mothers singing. I feel the mothers grieving. I see the mothers leading.
Welcome everyone to When Mothers Lead, Matriarchy Now. I'm Heidi Howes.
And I'm Lisa Woodward.
And we are here today with our beautiful friend, Tiffany Kendrick, also known as Tiffany K. Inspires or tkinspires.com. And before we get started, we want to share some things about our amazing friend, Tiffany Kendrick, who's also a member of our collective at Motherful.
VIP.
She is an inspirationalist. I love that. And a transformational coach, a writer, spoken word artist, also an author, so many things. She's the presenter of a beautiful TED Talk. Hopefully you can let us know where to find that. But you can find all things Tiffany K. Inspires at tkinspires.com. And she also has some beautiful classes that she's teaching. And we want to hear more about that. So Tiffany Kendrick, thank you for coming and being with us today. And we love you so much. We're so happy to talk with you and also to be able to bask in your poetry a little bit today. Just uplift your leadership as a mother and the many, many places where you are organizing in community over a decade now, I think. So we'd love to hear from you about your motherhood and what's alive for you right now.
Thank you so much for having me. Motherful is an organization that I shout out to the world wherever I am. And whenever I'm in conversation with other moms, I'm like, have you heard of
Thank Motherful? You.
I'm proud to be part of the collective and really glad that we could make this work so we could have this conversation. I remember being a child playing with Barbies, wanting to be a mom. I remember having dreams and visions and actually have in my journal. And when I was 18 years old, I wrote out my vision so that I would be a mom. And so it was something that being a mom is something that has been part of my calling and purpose. Even though the journey that I'm now embarking on, it was not part of the original vision. Because marriage was at the cornerstone of that. And I met my children's dad. We married and we were married for 13 years, together for 15. And now my children are 12 and 15, and I am no longer married. So growing into singlehood as a mother has been divinely supported by Motherful as role models, as community, as sisterhood, as places to really exchange our skills, our values, our assets. And I'm really grateful for that space.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're lucky to have you in it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so the single mother journey is relatively new for you.
Mm-hmm.
And since you brought it up, I'm wondering, like, how's it going?
How do you do it? How do you do it?
First of all, how is it going? It is going miraculously, honestly. Again, when for me, envisioning life away and then things taking a turn and exploring new ways to envision and dream is not easy. So I definitely rely on my faith in God, my faith that's foundational to me. In order to actually grow in acceptance of, okay, this is it now. This is what life is and what life can I create from here? Mm-hmm. And literally that is my more of a daily practice of like, okay, this is where I am now. Mm-hmm. Similar to getting on this call and realizing, oh, this, my Mac doesn't have Chrome and it's going to take a minute to download. Let me pivot and use this other device at, like, yeah. This practice of pivoting, I think that speaks to what motherhood is like in general, is like, mm-hmm. oh, I thought this day was going to look like this, right? So how do I do it? I do it in village and community and with friendships and relationships that are critical to feeling safe and being able to ask for help when I need it. And being able to also feel like I have something to offer, even in times where I might feel inadequate, like when I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that I do feel a sense of godly pride and humble pride around, is that I will admit to my children, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't. I'm figuring it out as I go, but I'm here to support you. I do know what I've experienced already, and I have wisdom that can support you in your life journey. So community, faith, and just even the acknowledgement that I don't know what I'm doing. However, I do know what I do know, right? I do know me, and I'm coming to know me more and more along the journey and using different wellness tools to support that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Yeah. I think like for so many single moms, it's just really, really hard, mm-hmm. you know, and there's like a lot of survival and fear and maybe even despair. I know that I experienced that a lot mm-hmm. as a single mom, especially in the beginning when I was kind of figuring it out, you know, and I love to just hear like how just faithful you are, you know, like that you're mm-hmm. really just trusting the process is what it sounds like. And I think that's something that just feels really grounded, you know.
And I think, you know, what that might, how that might look or feel in regards to it being a practice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Centered and using breath as an analogy, like, no, really. It is a taking in and a letting go on a constant basis. Mm-hmm. So trust and balance and harmony and all these things we kind of aspire towards. It's not this single line of, you know, continuance. It's this ebb and flow of like literally spending my mornings reading and journaling and crying mm-hmm. if I need to, and just like feeling the struggle and like battling with the fear until I surrender and look at it and say, oh, that's right. You're an illusion. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're an illusion. I don't need you right now. I don't need fear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let mm-hmm. me let you go. Pass. Mm-hmm. You can pass through. I don't have to hold on to you mm-hmm. Anymore. And so it is definitely a practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I held my breath until I started listening to your work. Like, how do you instill breathing, the breath work with your children? Do you guys have a routine?
That's a great question. I would love for us to develop a routine. Right now, during the school year lately, they are with me on the weekends. And what I'm finding is after a week of full work, I'm still gathering myself on the weekends. And so they we find our way to do that, and it isn't necessarily us sitting down together breathing.
Yeah.
But I am intentional about those moments where we're intentionally together at the table, mm-hmm. or on the couch, mm-hmm. eating, or in my room, which is one of my favorite things, is that my kids, you know, like me enough to like, okay, we're all sleeping in your room tonight, and they'll come in and we'll watch a movie. So in the metaphor of breath, us spending time together is our way of connectedness,
mm-hmm.
Where we're not always problem solving and figuring it out and kind of in conflict about things, but we're like settling into a movie or settling into a game or what have you. But I do breathe daily. I do some form of meditation every day, even if it's 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We're navigating emotions as a family. I do ground us and encourage, okay, let's take a breath. You know, maybe need a count. Like, I'll just reinforce that.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, we'll pray together. We'll read something, you know, sacred together. So, again, it doesn't look like a particular way all the time. Right. Yeah.
It's fluid. But thank
you. Motherhood that. Never looks the same way every time.
Okay.
Right.
Or from mother to mother, right? It's like, I think that's important too, for us to acknowledge that no one's mothering looks like anyone else's mothering.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking this morning in preparation for this call, how really looking at the type of daughter I've been and the mother that I had, mm-hmm. helps to shape the mother I am, mm-hmm. and the mother I'm becoming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I just wanted to uplift that as we mother, it has helped me to acknowledge what I'm healing from as a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally. It's such an intense healing journey, I think, like, because when every stage that our children reach, there are different, you know, healing experiences that we get to have around, mm-hmm. like, oh, when I was this age, this happened to me,
exactly.
You know, and this part of me was not heard or seen or valued or accepted, yeah. or whatever. And so then we get to like confront that, you know, emotionally. And I think especially, you know, for those of us who experienced, you know, multiple traumas as children, which many of mm-hmm. us did, you know, I know I have a pretty high ACEs score. I think, you know, those stages of growth that my children have had at every stage are something I'm confronting within myself, or like having to heal within myself, you know? And I was not prepared.
Yes, man, okay?
Yeah. So
like, not in the picture that I drew or the journaling,
you
know,
dreaming,
I'll be a mother.
Didn't know.
Did not know. It's
genes.
I feel
the
like
DNA passed down.
Oh yeah.
To me, I think motherhood is the deepest spiritual path that exists. At least in my mm-hmm. world. Like I remember, just as a segue, because I've I know you're a yoga teacher. Right, Tiff? You're a yoga teacher now, and I'd love to hear more about that. But I started studying yoga in 2001, and I happened to have the blessing of being initiated into Kriya Yoga by a Nepali yoga master. His name is, we just call him Swamiji, but Kiran Shankar Yogacharya. And he, you know, taught me so many things that I still use today. And mm-hmm. I remember just at that point, I was thinking about going to live in an ashram in North Carolina, an ashram called the Kindness House, which was part of the Human Kindness Foundation. And when I met my children's father, who became my husband, it was like I literally made a choice. Like, I'm going to either mm-hmm. go live this life in an ashram of an ascetic, you know, yogi, or I'm going to be a householder, as they call it, right? Ooh. And I remember, like, I was pulled between the two, and I remember hearing in my spirit say, like, this path of the householder or the mother is truly the one that will challenge you the most. Like an ashram would have been simple for me. Like,
yeah.
And pray and write all day, you know, like,
yeah.
And serve. Like that would have been easy peasy. But motherhood, I mean, just the toil, the trials, the tribulations, the growth, the evolution, like such an amazing path for spiritual seekers, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just, I can't believe I'm 20 years in, you know? Lisa's 30 years in.
Yes. Yes.
What a journey, huh?
It's a big journey.
Yeah.
And your grandmother helped raise you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're so well spoken and so graceful. Tell me how she influenced your upbringing and lessons that she taught you that you still hold on today.
That's a great question and topic, because I'm in a season of my life where I'm honoring consciously in my own way, carrying the ancestry of my grandmother, my mother, and my aunties who have passed away. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, I said, at one point, that's my other parent. Like my dad was present from a distance, and I love him dearly and appreciate the way we continue to evolve our relationship. But my grandmother raised me when my mother was active in her addiction and in and out of stability. My grandmother laid the foundation of faith through the Christian church. And so, and she also applauded me and put me on stages and platforms and taught me poems and scriptures to remember and put me in, you know, costume. And so she cultivated and pulled out of me those gifts that God had given me and gave me room. And not only gave me room, but like pushed me into rooms so that I would be expressive and creative and perform. And so very much my foundation. What I didn't know until my mother passed was my mother was also a creative. She wrote poetry in her journals and prayed and was a spiritual warrior in her own way outside and beyond the church. Mm-hmm. And so that has deepened my connectedness with my own spiritual journey and practices, and allowing me to expand beyond what I originally thought was the only way to express a relationship with God. My grandmother was a preacher and teacher, a mentor, youth advocate. She pushed the envelope in her apostolic church in Springfield. Ohio.
She wore earrings.
She did the thing. She did do the things that were things like dance in the church. She's like, I'm bringing in praise dancers. I'm bringing in, you know, gospel rappers. Like she'll bring in.
I was raised in an apostolic church, so I know the boundaries.
Okay. Lots of boundaries. Yeah. Lots of walls. And she was like, we're going to push those boundaries. And yet she still kept a certain standard of this is how to live your life holy. And so as much as I've embodied her expectations, the first half of my life, I feel myself shedding a lot of fears and leaning into some of the things that my mother was teaching me in liberation and expansiveness and freedom. And so that's been really interesting for me, which also opened me up towards meditation and yoga. And Heidi, hearing you talk about an ashram, I'm like, so I feel like I'm headed there. Like that's how.
Yes.
I'm like, if I can, like, since I've done that part, like, can I now, like, end up in some beautiful, on some beautiful mountain somewhere with trees? Near the ocean.
I see you there. That's, completely your vibe. I feel like you embody that already. I feel like every time I'm with you, I'm like, everything slows down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, she's reminding me to, like, be present and embody.
And breathe. And
slower. I'm just like, how does she do it? Because I'm on this, like, da-da-da-da-da, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you about your work with mothers now at Urban Strategies Inc. Because you're a leader,
community leader
right now, and you know, I just want to know what's, you know, your daily work is with mothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So share about what you're up to and how you're pouring into the world over there.
I count it a privilege, honestly, almost to tears and of gratitude that I can serve in a capacity where, as a, you know, with the title of family support specialist and the role of service coordinator and connector, I get to be nested on the near east side of Columbus at Poindexter Village and really meet people where they are, because I am that, and I express that to someone, like, I am that mother, figuring it out, right? So we, whether they come to us for rent assistance, which seems to be the primary need that is expressed to us, we get to hear and share stories of survival. We get to hear and share stories of and identify dreams and goals. So my office is nested in the community, and someone comes to me and I ask the question, well, you know, what else can we do? Or, you know, what happened that you're now in need of this particular assistance? We hear the trauma, we hear about grief, we hear about successes of, you know, collegiate degrees and just the expansion and diversity that exists even within a Black community of mostly mothers. And with that, what I love doing is being able to make that connection to a resource, to a purpose, to a person, to an opportunity that aligns with those goals, those dreams, and those needs. And now that I even have a colleague working alongside me, which is amazing, it's beautiful. It was one thing to do it, you know, solo on a site, but support it nationally in our system. It's another thing to have somebody arm in arm with you. So,
and you said you have 300 families. Is that what I?
We have 300 plus units on our property. We have, I'll say, almost 100 families that we have in our system that we're serving. And then there's those primary and prioritized ones that we're definitely working to get to stability. And so I love working for Urban Strategies. I love working in that community. And just to highlight, we were able to receive a grant to operate a mentoring program this summer that included the moms towards the end. Here's the end celebration. Here's some resilient tools that we were able to offer the girls. And then last couple weeks ago, we were able to host a day retreat at Replenish Spa with the moms and daughters. Grant funding. And so dream come true to like be in that wellness space and hold that with moms and daughters and see them connect to themselves and each other and a new space that's Black woman owned, mother owned business. You know, like that is like, for me, that's the dream. And that's to me how we can invest in community. It's not, are we, here's some rent assistance by this other agency. No, we're getting funding and we're using it to invest in local business that's women owned, Black owned, mother owned. And we're being able to use that to pour into mothers in the community who might not otherwise have accessed that opportunity. So dream to, those are like little dreams coming true, right? So big dream is like, can we scale this and make this more accessible more consistently, right? Yes. Like how can we really prioritize and invest in the wellness of mothers? And the wellness of our businesses that are mother owned on a consistent basis, expansively.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
we need all that
choir here. We are so
exactly.
Yes, we love Replenish Spa too. Let's just uplift mm-hmm. them.
Yeah,
check them out in Columbus. So I want to just invite you now to share one of your poems that you came to bring, you know, that you brought with you today, and I would love to make space for that.
Yes, we'll share this piece and dedicate it to the mothers and daughters, to, I think, of the mentees, those youth who were once in my program who are now mothers that have daughters mm-hmm. in programming that I'm developing, and to my daughter. And so this is definitely a multi-generational piece written and inspired by the Black Women Rise Poetry Collective that I'm also part of. Shout out to us and the things that we're being able to do, including a poetry slam coming up from Melanated Metaphors for Black girls in high school. That is on December 9th, actually.
Cool.
So at Afrocentric. So awesome. Just grateful to be a part of that and to have written this piece and performed it as part of the collective. Definitely a journey piece. So I hope you enjoy.
Yes.
I have always been fascinated with fire. The way she dances on a candle's wick, tamed and restricted, caged to a specific stage, fire intrigues me. Because I know that if she were to be pushed over the edge, her choreography would consume everything beneath her feet. I've always admired how fire makes room for herself, announcing herself in a dark room. She is illuminating, alluring. I've always been nervous around fire because if you touch her, you'll never forget the texture of her passion. She sears the skin with a kiss you would not soon forget. See, fire always leaves a mark. But I've only known how to be water, how to flow from one unstable home to the next, offering very little resistance to my environment. I know how to take on the shape of whatever space I'm poured into. When tempers rise, I'm steam, airy and invisible. When it feels cold, I'm ice, frozen and impenetrable. I am ocean, rivers and streams of refreshing optimism. And as a child, I doused my anger with tears, dripped my spark into a diary. I drowned my girlhood in dreams for stability. My mom always kept a lighter nearby. Smoke sprang from her lips as she spoke expletives. She kept her conversations fiery and honest. And when her heart lit with determination, she conquered addiction and led others to freedom. My grandmother, she burned in the kitchen, faithfully cooking to feed our family's souls. Her hands never felt cold, clasped in fervent prayer. Blessings flavored every meal. And at church, she claimed that fire was shut up in her bones. Her praise would spread like wildfire. Though I am ocean, rivers and streams of thirst-quenching positivity, as a woman, I am becoming more acquainted with the inferno of divine femininity. How she embodies complexity. She is warm and enlightening, and she is destructive and threatening. Fire speaks a language the ancestors know. And when we tap in, the spirit sparks embers at the core of our frozen souls. Our bellies are blazing with intuitive guidance. We know who we are. We are Oya, sacred temples draped in red. We are Phoenix rising again and again. We are alchemists, unquenchable bonfire, devouring the systems that were built to enslave us. We burn every hand that raises itself against us. We burn every mouth that has tried to curse us. We burn every soul tie that distracts us from our purpose. We know who we are. We are mothers of this earth and all its inhabitants. We are generous lovers offering the gift of our presence, carriers of the most holiest of secrets. We are love and light personified, daughters of the Most High, holy and brilliant, beautiful, beloved woman. I have always been drawn to our fire. Though I am ocean, rivers and streams, I'm learning to keep a lighter close, to carry fire in my bones, to let God be my guide and let my tongue be torch and my pen be grenade, because I know who we are. We are both fluid and flame. We are an all-consuming womb that can never be constrained. In peace, Ashi.
Yes.
Fluid and flame.
Yes. Love it.
Thank you. That's amazing, Tiffany.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Thank you for letting me share.
Yes.
We love you sharing.
We love it. We love it so much. And wow, powerful stuff. Thank you so much for sharing. So I guess after that, we just want to know what your vision of the world is when the mothers lead.
Yeah. When mamas are leading. How's the word changing?
The vision of the world when mothers lead is love being fully embodied. Oppressive systems being dismantled. Our well-being being prioritized. Every human being humanized. Children being free to grow into adulthood without the fear of losing their life to someone else's fear or hatred. It is a world of wholeness. It is expansive, and yeah, the embracing of the complexity of our humanity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a world where love leads.
A world where love leads, yes. We'll take it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Tiffany K. Inspires, tkinspires.com. Go check out her beautiful work. And where can people find your TED Talk? Because that's a really powerful piece as well. Is that on YouTube?
Yeah, it is on YouTube. There is a link on my website. I do mention it in my on my Instagram, which is probably my favorite social media platform, at Tiffany K. Inspires.
Tiffany K. Inspires with one F, correct?
One F and an I at the end. Tiffany K. Inspires. And so YouTube, search the life-saving power of inspiration.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We love you so much, Tiffany. Thank you for coming and being with us and making me cry a lot. I needed that today.
Me too. Me too. Where's that coming from? Okay. It's coming from the well that we tend to stir up within each other. So I'm so grateful for you all. Love you all.
And love you too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love you.
I see the mothers marching. I hear the mothers singing.